The Old Testament reading for our celebration of thanksgiving to the Lord comes from the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you, and let you hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. This is the word of the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The epistle reading comes from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, the 9th chapter. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this evening, comes to us according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, what to do, what to do, what to do. The man in our gospel reading tonight, he has a problem. And he just doesn't know what to do about it, because it's not the kind of problem that many people have. He's not a leper wondering how he can be cured of this terrible disease. He's not a beggar wondering where his next meal is going to come from. Quite the opposite, in fact. The problem that he has is that the crops were just too darn bountiful. And he's got nowhere to put all his harvest. And I know we deal with that every day, but no. He's been blessed with so much that he just doesn't even know where to put it anymore. I mean, now that's the kind of problem that we'd all like to have, isn't it? You see, but that's the kicker. We do have that problem. Every one of us do. Every one of us have the problem of too many gifts. Tomorrow, when we gather for our Thanksgiving feast, we will probably start the meal by listing the things for which we are thankful. And there will be pauses and awkward silences. Not because we're scrambling to try to think of what few blessings we have received this year, but because we have so many to choose from and we want to hit the highlights, want to hit the ones that kind of encompass all the others and give thanks for enough blessings to sound grateful, but not so many that we sound like we're bragging. We've been given so many gifts. In fact, we've been given too many gifts in many ways. Now, don't get me wrong. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. It is good to appreciate the gracious gifts that he pours out into our lives. We rejoice that God has blessed our lives so bountifully, and rightly so. We look around at so many places in the world where they would literally die to get the advantages that we have, the blessings and the luxuries, and we give thanks to God for the blessings and freedoms that we have. We give thanks that God does not just give us what we need to squeak by and just barely survive. God does not give us the bare essentials and say, well, you suppose you need 2,000 calories, so here's 2,000 exactly, eat that and be happy. No, that's not how God gives. Our cup runs over. God fills our lives with so many blessings, so many luxuries, so many things that we don't need, but that truly make life easier and more enjoyable. We don't need a beautiful sanctuary like this, but it is a joy to gather here and give thanks to God, to worship him with the decorations and the architecture and everything we have. We don't need a bountiful feast tomorrow, but it is good to get together and celebrate the blessings that we have, rejoice with family and friends, and give thanks to him. God gives us so many things, and it is right for us to give thanks to him. But far too often, those things, those blessings, they often become the focus of our lives. And very quickly, God is forgotten. We start to pay more attention to the gift than to the giver. And we become covetous. And we're never satisfied. And we want more and more and more. We are obsessed with it. When we get a little bit, it's never enough. I got one pack of Pokemon cards, but I got to catch them all now. I got one good turkey. Now I want more for leftovers. Last year, I got this for Christmas, and now I need to finish out the entire collection. And so often, we just accumulate. We're like the poor man who is so rich in our gospel reading tonight. He's poor because he has no one to share it with. He's hoarding all of these things. His first thought is not, how can I benefit my neighbor? But it is, what can I do to keep my neighbor from getting their hands on my stuff? We want more and more and more. And as God gives us blessings, we say, that's not enough. We want more, God. We need more. We need another one. We need more and more and more. Even as we are drowning in possessions, we covet what we don't have, rather than give thanks to God for what we do have. We very quickly start to worship and adore the gift and ignore the giver. seeing him as someone who has to give us these things. He owes these things to us, and he better give us more or else. But here's the thing. Just like the man learned in the parable, earthly blessings won't last. He said to himself, "Self, I've got plenty for years to come. Eat, drink, relax, be merry." And then God came and said, "Tonight your life is required of you." And to whom will all of these possessions go? The blessings that we get, they are good. It is right to give thanks to God for them, but it is also right to recognize that they are not here forever. They will break. They will become obsolete. They will be forgotten about, lost under the couch, or simply abandoned as we find something shinier and newer. And ultimately, when we die, none of this will do us any good. As a pastor, I've been in quite a few funeral processions in my life. Not one of them has had a U-Haul in it. Not one of them has hauled all of their stuff with them to put into the mausoleum. And even if they did, it doesn't do them any good for the person in the box. You see, when we die, all these earthly blessings, as good as they are, as wonderful as they are, as nice as they've made our lives, they can do us no good whatsoever. No matter how rich you are, no matter how many toys you might have, all of it comes to nothing in the end. All of it, that is, except for one gift, one very important eternal gift from our loving Heavenly Father. The greatest gift given to us is the one that will never perish, the gift of Jesus Christ. Because that gift cannot be bound even by death. That gift comes to us, not just here in our lives, to make life better for us, although it certainly does that. We rejoice that Jesus speaks to us here, gives us his word of reassurance and guidance and blessing. We rejoice that Jesus gives us these things here in this life, but we also know that when this life ends, his gift does not. The gift of Jesus Christ, the faith that he has given to us, the salvation that he gave to us so freely, it lasts for all eternity. Because all who look to him in faith, death is not the end for them. It is simply the beginning of that eternal life in heaven with him. The gift of Jesus Christ will not fade, will not be broken, will not be replaced by something better or the newer version of it. It is a gift that lasts forever. And the gift that he gave was nothing short of everything. Jesus Christ gave to us everything that he had. As Paul writes in our epistle lesson, he says, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." I mean, how can we understand what Jesus gave to us? Think about what the gift of your salvation actually entailed. Jesus Christ, God the Son, fully God who was there, through whom and by whom and for whom all things were created, he came to us to be a part of his creation. Jesus, who is eternal, humbled himself to be born of the Virgin Mary, to be laid in a manger rather than his great kingly heavenly hall. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, laid aside his power, chose to walk as one of us, to feel the same pains and temptations and sorrows and weaknesses that we ourselves feel each and every day. But even this wasn't enough. He still had more to give. And so Jesus Christ stepped into those waters of baptism with you. In your baptism, every sin was washed off of you into those cleansing waters. But in the baptism of Jesus Christ, who was without sin, he stepped into those waters and took your sin upon himself. And then he took that sin, not back to heaven, not just out into the desert to cast it away and hope it doesn't come back, but he took that sin to the cross. And there he laid down his life for you. He took your sin and died beneath the weight of that sin so that you could be set free. Jesus gave everything, and he gave everything to you. He took your sin upon himself, and he suffered and died the hell that you should have deserved for your entire life, for all of eternity. He took it instead. We will never be able to understand just how much he gave. We will never be able to understand the agony that he endured, the hell that he endured as the Father turned his back upon the Son. We will never understand the power, the dedication, the love that it took for him to stay upon that cross, to cry out, "It is finished," and to pay your penalty in full, to break the chains of death as he rose on Easter morning, to submit to death, and then to make death his subject. Jesus is the victor. He gave everything so that he could give you everything. It's a gift you will never understand, and it is a gift that you absolutely do not deserve. We're sinners. We hate Jesus by nature. We don't want God in our lives. We don't want to hear that we are doing wrong. We don't want God to speak his word of righteousness and see how far short we fall of it. And yet, he does. Not to punish us. Not to scold us as little children and say, "Why can't you people do better?" But for our good. He disciplines us. He chastises us so that we will recognize that every gift we receive is from his gracious hand. Everything in this world, everything that we have, comes from him and him alone. And because of the gift of salvation, because Jesus laid down his life for you, all the other gifts that we receive are possible. Think about that. Had Jesus not suffered and died in your place, had he not performed the redemptive work of dying on the cross, giving his life as a sacrifice to atone for the sins of the entire world, you would receive only condemnation and wrath from God. But because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because he has paid for your sin, God now freely gives to the entire world, to the wicked and the righteous alike. Not that he wants people to ignore him and hate him, but he is still their heavenly Father. He still gives to them, even when they reject him, despise him, hate him, want nothing to do with him. Still, he pours out blessing after blessing into their life, especially the blessing of his word, calling out to those who do not believe that they too would hear the word of the Lord, would be brought to faith, and would rejoice with us in that eternal glory of the gift of salvation given us in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are the gifts that God freely gives to us, and this is why we give thanks, not just on a holiday, but every day of the year. So do give thanks for the turkey, for your job, for your health, for family, for safe travels, for all of these things. These are good things that are bountiful gifts from God, and it is good to remember that they are gracious gifts from his loving hand. But as you do, remember that they will not be there forever. They will fail you, they will break, and they can do you no good in the eternal scheme of things. And so remember as well to give thanks to God for the eternal gift, the gift of eternal life that he has given to you. Not by you, not by anything that you have done, but simply by the cross and the empty tomb of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.